Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. We're so happy that you've joined us this morning. I have a few announcements before we begin our worship service. The first is to remind you to pick up a copy of the newsletter on the back table if you would like a hard copy of it. Also on the back table are sign-up sheets for our church picnic, which will be on September 29th. If you could let us know what you're bringing, that will make our preparations a little bit easier. Choir practice is going to be resuming this Thursday in our choir room. Rehearsal begins at 7:30, so if you are in the choir or are interested in joining the choir, please plan on attending. You can read the rest of when the meetings are happening in the bulletin. However, I would like to remind session that we are having our monthly meeting on Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the library. I am sure we have a lot to discuss, so... We have so much to discuss that if we could get there, we could get started sooner. Did I forget anything? Any announcements we want to make? I'm so sorry. Debbie is with us this morning. Mickey is off. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Oh, I do have one other announcement. We want to welcome Jim Leonard, who's here with us this morning. It's good to see you. He is the founder of the food pantry in Aetna, so that we contribute to. So we want to join him in worship with us this morning. All right. Please join with me for our call to worship. Creator God, you call us to hospitality, to give as generously to others as you have given to us, for there are angels among us. Loving God, you call us to give your glory in the compassion we show to one another, to live without judgment of ourselves or of others. We gather as one body, seeking to walk in the way you have set for us. We gather as one body to worship the one who is love. Friends, let us rise and join together for our opening hymn, number 509, All Who Hunger Gladly Gather.
All who hunger, gladder, gladly more.
with me now for our prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Join with me for our words of assurance. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. Join with me now as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us now greet one another in faith. Any prayer requests this morning?
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so we have a few. So the first prayer request is actually for the little girl who I'm sure you guys have gotten the Amber Alerts that they find her. Unfortunately, they found the woman who took her yesterday, and they found the car, but they have not found the little girl. She's still missing, so prayers for her. Prayers for Mary Lou Enrieto, who is Kathy Enrieto's mother-in-law, and she's at Providence Point, and that she's in rehab now, and that she needs to behave and do what she needs to do. A prayer request from Suzanne Connors for the Zhang family. The loss of Olivia, who was 42 years old. She's leaving behind a 10-year-old child. Prayer request from Kathy Sagi for Kathy. She has some very abnormal blood work, and it may lead to a lot of answers. Prayers that the doctors can treat the symptoms and conditions that it is causing. Another prayer request from Suzanne Connors for her mother-in-law, that she's in hospice care, and that God's will be done. Another prayer request from Suzanne Connors. I can't read the first name.
It's basically even
the people in the cafeteria. Yes. Oh, thank you. Sorry. Those in Dorian's path. That's what it says. Okay. Absolutely keep those in prayer who are in the path of Dorian and that hurricane. A prayer request for my husband's best friend Jeff. He prays that on Tuesday he had a heart attack. He was actually at the gym having the heart attack, and when he had the heart attack, but because of that he was saved. They did surgery, they did repair the artery, and then prayer request that for his continued healing. And then prayer request for my father. He's 88, and on Friday they discovered that he has cancer on his spine, but it has metastasized from somewhere else, and they just don't know where. So prayers that they find where the cancer has metastasized from, and that his journey from this point forward is peaceful and painless. Thank you.
At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of preparation, Bread of the World in Mercy Broken, which is number 499. Please be seated. I'm going to say a prayer of thanksgiving that our choir is going to be back next week so they can help lead us in these songs. Friends, please join me in prayer. God of grace and God of mercy, we thank you that you have gathered us together this morning to be fed at your table. We pray that the bread we break and the cup we bless will sustain and nourish us to go out and be your light in the world. Father God, we come before you this morning and we lift up to you our concerns. We pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, today we lift up to you Mary Lou, Kathy, Jeff, and Nancy's father. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we lift up to you Suzanne Connor's mother-in-law. We pray that your will be done in her treatment. Lord, we also lift up to you the Zhang family on the loss of Olivia. We particularly pray for her daughter that she leaves behind. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, our heart continues to break on news of yet another mass shooting in our country. Today, we lift up the victims of the Texas shooting. Our heart continues to break for the family and friends of the more than 50 victims of gun violence in August alone in our country. Lord, we pray for the men, women, and children who live in the path of Hurricane Dorian. We pray that they were able to seek shelter, that they were able to secure their homes, and that if they are staying, they would be kept safe. Lord, we lift up to you the baby girl that was kidnapped yesterday afternoon. We pray that she would be found quickly and returned to her family. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we lift up to you Kelly and Eric, who are going to be married this afternoon. We pray that the rain holds off from 4:30 to 5 at Heartwood Acres. Lord, we also pray that in the joining of their two families, you would bless their union. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness would be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering.
Luke 14:7-14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you have been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place." And in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who are humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to one who had invited him, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. In case they may invite you in return, you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." God bless our reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. After worship today, I am going to be heading up to Heartwood Acres to officiate at a wedding for a lovely young couple. The couple requested that I make an announcement at the beginning of the service, inviting guests to turn their phones off for the ceremony. Because of smartphones, everyone now thinks that they are a wedding photographer. And the problem with this is that instead of being fully present for the ceremony, guests become preoccupied with taking pictures of the service and then uploading them to social media before I've even had a chance to proclaim the husband or the couple husband and wife. And when wedding couples do this against the bride and groom's wishes, the couple has trouble enjoying their wedding day. As I was preparing the sermon for this Sunday, I've come to realize that prematurely posting wedding photos on social media is the modern day equivalent of taking the seat of honor at a wedding banquet in the ancient Near East. In both instances, wedding guests try to steal the spotlight from the bride and groom and redirect it upon themselves. Now, it's a very normal human thing to want to sit at the best spot at the wedding banquet. Presumably, you'll get to eat first if you pick the right table. It's also very normal to want to take a flattering photo of yourself when you and your spouse or friend are all dressed up. We should not kid ourselves. Humble bragging is not genuine participation in the kingdom of God. In our scripture passage for today, Jesus says that in this new kingdom, the humbled will be exalted and the exalted will be humbled. Remember, in the first century, your status in life was largely dependent upon the status of your parents or the family that you were born into. There wasn't a lot of moving around from being poor to being wealthy. You couldn't work hard and achieve wealth the way that we can today. So what Jesus is trying to say here is that although we can't control our social status in life, we can control how we respond to it. Here he's particularly talking to people who are born into positions of privilege. And he's telling them, if you were born into privilege, it is your duty and responsibility to use your privilege to lift others up. One of the questions I think we American Christians need to wrestle with is, how do we use our privilege to bless others? Compared to the rest of the world, Americans enjoy incredible privilege. What I mean by this is that we have access to things like clean water, clothing, food, shelter, and medicine that the rest of the world simply does not. I believe that the best antidote to privilege is community, where we force ourselves to be in situations where the rough edges of one another brush up against the rough edges of our own unholiness. One of the evils of privilege is that it isolates us. What I mean by this is that we as a society now are less likely to ask our neighbor to borrow a cup of sugar when we run out than we are to get in our car and drive to the grocery store or order a cup of sugar on our phone and have it delivered to us in the next couple hours. What I worry is that in a generation or two, we will have outsourced all of our problems to the point where we can't tell you our neighbor's name. For those of us that have the financial means to take care of ourselves, living in community is the clearest way that we can participate in this kingdom of God. And for those of us gathered in this room, the type of community living I'm talking about is a church community. Now, as anyone who has ever belonged to a church knows, it is impossible for any community to get along 100% of the time. We will have arguments, disagreements, sources of conflict. And sometimes these arguments and disagreements and conflicts can get downright heated. As a Christian community, we labor day in and day out to live into Charles Wesley, you know, that famous Methodist theologian, his mandate that a church should have unity in essentials and charity in unessentials or non-essentials. What he means by this is that as a community, we have decided that faith in Jesus is an essential tenet of why we gather. But we need to have some charity in different opinions and how we live about this belief in Jesus. Friends, it is hard to be charitable towards someone that holds a different point of view than you do. Particularly the more important this viewpoint is to you. It's especially hard to be charitable towards someone who's not behaving particularly charitably towards you. But we do this day in and day out because we believe that the demand of hospitality is one of the costs of discipleship. If we return to my wedding illustration for a moment, I really don't care if wedding guests take pictures during the ceremony, as long as they're not being obnoxious, like doing flash photography or trying to get into my personal space. I generally let guests try to get their pictures. But the couple that I'm marrying this afternoon is a really private couple. And they both come from really big families, and they just financially could not invite all 300 of them to the wedding. They've asked guests not to take pictures and not to upload them on Facebook so that their family in England doesn't feel bad that they couldn't make the trip to watch them get married. Extending genuine hospitality in this particular situation means doing our best to honor the couple's wishes. Friends, We are about to enter into a season as a church where we will have many opportunities to practice hospitality. Fall is, after all, the season of church coffee hours, church picnics, installation services, and Thanksgiving celebrations. For some of us, participating in Jesus' hospitality is going to mean volunteering to help at one of our church events. We need people to make and buy the food, to find the tablecloths, to set up and tear down the tables. But we also need people whose gift it is to chat with visitors who show up at our events. We also need people to invite visitors to our events. Sometimes the demands of hospitality invite us to do that which we'd rather not for the sake of the world that Jesus loves so much. As much as Jesus invites us to extend hospitality, he also invites us to receive it. One place where our community receives the hospitality of Jesus is when we gather at the table for communion. The Lord's Supper serves as a foretaste of this heavenly banquet where people will gather from north and south and east and west and sit at table in the kingdom of God. Jesus invites everyone gathered in this room today to participate in this holy meal. This meal feeds and sustains us so that we can go out into the world and feed and sustain others. However you find yourself participating in the hospitality of Jesus, know that Jesus loves you. That Jesus is with you always, and that Jesus goes out ahead of us. That we won't always do this hospitality thing perfectly, but that's okay because that's not the point. In this new kingdom of God, the call is to be faithful, not perfect. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to remain seated for our communion hymn, which is number 525, Let Us Break Bread Together.
once we're done, I will close us with a word of prayer. All right, friends, let us begin our celebration of communion. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. We need your handout for the next part. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and Ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve you, and to live at peace with your whole creation. You made a covenant with us, and even when we turned from you, you remained ever faithful. Therefore, with all creation, we say your praise. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your boundless love revealed to us in Jesus Christ, we break bread and share the cup, giving ourselves to you to live for him in joy and praise. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Friends, on the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks, he blessed it and broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a sign of the new covenant, shed for you with my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people. Body of Christ. Blood of Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Then you should rise and join with me for our closing hymn, which is printed in the bulletin.
What number is it?
We come as guests invited, number 504.
Friends on earth.
friends, let me say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.